Lucifer, son of the morning, I'm gonna chase you out of earth.
Shabbat shalom, Mishpachah, Shabbat shalom. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Ahaya b'Hashem, HaMashiach. Ruach, Ruach. All praise is due to him on the Shabbat, this day of worship. We welcome you to the Hebrew Restoration Assembly. I am Elder V. This show is brought to you, or this gathering is a part of the Social Change Network, I should say, brought to you here on Babylon Talk Radio. Something that I always like to say, for we know that we are living in the daughter of Babylon, and Babylon is falling. But this being the day of rest, day that the Most High has prepared for us, we focus on Him. We do no servile work. We seek not our own pleasure. We don't exchange money with this world. We come up out of the system on this day. And we consult him, seek him, worship him, acknowledge him, give him his just due for the 6 days of labor and for this seventh day of rest. Elder Ardre is here with us. Shabbat shalom, Elder.
Shabbat shalom. And Shabbat shalom to the Mishpachah family out there. Welcome to another Shabbat broadcast.
What's going on with you, brother? How you feel?
Oh, doing pretty good, man. I'm just as the music was playing, just was, you know, just going back over scriptures and and, you know, praying and meditating. And so doing pretty good. How about yourself?
I feel victorious.
That's the only way to feel, brother. That's the only way to feel.
You know, I sure would like to keep on having my Shabbat rest and turn over in that sack a few more times. But when it comes to opening up this Torah and this Tanakh and fellowshipping with the fam over the law and scriptures, you know, I get pumped up about that because it's our Knesset, it's our ministry, it's our duty. It's the least we could do.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's true. So this is a good sacrifice.
Sacrifice
the Most High.
Sacrifice of praise. I want to say to all the listeners, and by the way, Pastor Chu, I did reach out to you. It was another brother here in the area who had said that he might call in, be on the broadcast. Didn't get a chance to connect with you. If you call in, raise your hands. I know you're there if you want to chime in. But we are definitely, Elder Audrey and I are going to go on with this. I mentioned Thursday that before we start to get into the heart of it, that I was going to talk about a portion of this incident that happened at World Changers Church with Pastor Creflo Dollar. And I had mentioned to everyone, if you didn't hear the broadcast, Straight No Chaser, that the night before I just happened to turn on the TV and Creflo Dollar was preaching and his sermon was on, or I should say, against the Old Covenant, what we teach on today, the Ten Commandments, and how there was a new covenant that was necessary. I was so amazed by it because I'll say this, for the unlearned, it would have been very convincing. It would have been something that would have been persuasive and believable, palpable. And then the next morning, I wake up to turn on the news and I see there was a shooting at his church. I'm not trying to connect them, but there's a little irony in that. And I don't believe in coincidence. And I had mentioned that we were going to probably refute the points of his sermon that I actually have on tape, because for some reason or another I taped it with my iPhone. And I think at some point Elder Audrey and I will address that particular sermon, since he's got 30,000 unlearned folks up in his church that's listening to this garbage he's talking. And maybe we will begin to break that down, but I'm not going to do it today because we said that we were going to focus on for the next couple of weeks what's happening in the world during this time, this particular season for Babylon, for the world, and what they focus on with this is this being their prince number one holiday, which is Halloween, where they feel the veil between death and life is it's at its thinnest, and people are being kidnapped by the hundreds of thousands and prepped for sacrifices, and people being recruited into the occult, paganism, and witchcraft. We have to stay focused on that because we were at warfare last week, and we're going to remain at warfare today because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and rulers of darkness. And there's a lot of things that we need to deal with as it pertains to this season. I actually get indignant and a godly anger to want to go to battle during this time because I realize the forces that are all around us that are trying to lull our people to sleep, to believe this is just a costume fest. Take your kids out and collect candy, and you're participating in one of the worst holidays that there could ever be. And then these Constantine Christian churches have the nerve to have a replacement harvest festival, thinking they're doing better and actually doing worse, because this time of season they also sacrifice people to fallen angels and gods so that the crops and the harvest would be better in the springtime. So you're actually participating in an even a higher fashion, you churches having these harvest festivals. So we'll get to this Creflo Dollar Against the Ten Commandments sermon next week. My prayers go out to the minister that was up leading prayer at World Changers, to his family that lost his life. We don't celebrate anything like that. So prayers out to his family. I say that it's time to just come back to the commandments, the statutes and laws that do increase the benefits.
Are you there, brother?
Yes, sir, I'm here. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Stop. I didn't know if I accidentally clicked the button or something. Yeah. That was well said. And we never wish, especially for our brothers, we never wish any of our brothers to die in such a way, such a violent way, especially if he died without even knowing the Messiah or practicing the commands. So it's not like we're celebrating it, but we got to call out what's wrong and call out what that pastor said, because that itself is a crime. And so, you know, we have to speak out against these things. But he said it, funny enough, during this time of the season. So you know it was a satanic message.
Exactly.
Satanic lie.
Exactly.
You know, so it's okay during this harvest time to speak out that commands are dead and all this kind of stuff, and that, you know, and so what better time to do it than now? And so I'm not surprised, or we not surprised that happened. We talked about it, so I can say on behalf of Elder here that we're not surprised.
Yeah, there's some type of connection there, and you know, I'm not afraid to touch it. It's just that I wait on the Most High to understand that, because like you said, why would you promote a message like that during this season and try to put our people back into a anything goes mentality? We got grace and mercy. Live any kind of way. It's a better covenant. You know, that confusing, ridiculous stuff. Yeah, we're here to get our people to understand that the Father has given us as a nation, as Israel, and Israel is rising. All praises to the Most High. Israel is waking up. All praises to the Most High. But he's given us, as we wake up, statutes, laws, and commandments to conduct ourselves by and to adhere to, so that we could have a better life, so that we could be Kodesh. We want to be Kodesh, like our Father, Abba, who is in Shemaim. Kodesh be his name. That's where we want to be as well. So that's what we've got. Most High willing, if we see another day, you know, next week, in 2 weeks, we plan on getting back to the healthy shows. But next week, we're going to continue this warfare topic and sermon. And we actually have a broadcast on that Halloween Hella Day, where we're going to be in warfare prayer, and Elder Audrey is going to continue part two of his lesson. And I hope I'm not putting you on the spot, brother.
No, you're not.
Well, you mentioned that you were going to continue your lesson, but I also want to be in prayer that night against principalities, rulers of darkness, people being sacrificed. You got people walking down the street, people jumping out of vans with dark windows and poison handkerchiefs, smothering them, and they wake up on a slab table getting ready to be sacrificed. People think this is just in the movies. This is not in the movies, people. People live for this day, to talk to, worship, and sacrifice to their gods. And we, as believers of the Most High, the Kodesh, the remnant, the set apart, we got to galvanize and rally together and combat these things in the spirit and dispatch angels and do war. It's on and cracking. So let's be on our A game. Man, brother, I got so much war in me, I feel like going to one of these pagan churches tomorrow and preach, because that's where all the devils is at. I'm ready to kill some demons.
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that, because that's what I was actually thinking earlier, that, man, we got to go back in and tell the truth. If he came, you know, and I know some of you brothers out there are going to disagree with that, because I hear a lot that, hey, you know, leave those churches alone, you know, let them do what they do. But if he brought you out, and a lot of us came out of church, if he brought you out, then I think it's right that we go back in. I'm not talking about go back in and play the organ and get in the choir and join church. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about go back in and proclaim the truth. And I think that's the right thing to do. So, yeah, man, I totally agree with that.
You know, I guess I'm just saying it humorously, but in all actuality, our family comes together, the Mishpachah, over the airwaves and YouTube, the internet, to have our assemblies right now because we don't have a lot of synagogues and gatherings. And I feel like some of these stronger exhorters and preachers need to go in with this message probably and tear some people's heads off, because I'm talking about demons' heads off, and preach. Mm-hmm. They never have you back again if you tell the truth, but who cares? Go in there and drop a lug on them about who we are as a people and why we're in this mess and how we can change it and how we need to come back to the statutes, laws, and commandments. We're the ones that's packing the swords of truth. Mm-hmm. You know, right now, I mean, if you turned me loose up in one of them places, I'm gonna go crazy, and not to stimulate their emotions, but to kill some demons that's got our people asleep and blind because they're looking for something different. And you've got these preachers preaching on success, fame, and money. And we know no man can serve two gods. It's either going to be the Most High or mammon. And that's one of the things that World Changers, Creflo's Church, preaches on is mammon and how to get more of it. And that's why that is a cash cow, a business. Does nothing for the community. It's a church of prestige. And most people join it like they're joining a social club to say, I go there. So it's like something almost had to happen just to shake that place and shake the world.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And don't be surprised, and I'm not speaking witchcraft or anything, but don't be surprised if you see more of that, because the Most High is just fed up with this stuff, man. I mean, I'm fed up with it. You know, so I know he's fed up with it. You know, so the truth have got to come out. And the question I have for the Mishpachah is, how far are you willing to go to get the truth out? Are you willing to go back there? And once again, I'm not talking about, because I know how some of you are, I'm not talking about go back and join church. I'm not going back. I'm not talking about going back, staying there. I'm talking about going, speaking the truth. Or even if you don't go back in the church itself, talk to the members outside of it. But just go talk to them that you know that go to church and say, hey, here's the way. Because, and Elder, you and I both know, and I'm sure others of you out there know this, is that they're already fed up. The sheep is already fed up, but they don't know that there's a better way. They don't know that there's another way they can go. They feel like, okay, this is it, so, you know, this is all we got, so let me just stay here. But they're not satisfied. How could they be?
Yeah, they're not satisfied. And, you know, the biggest thing is that they'll see a difference in you. So I know that there's a lot of our Hebrew brothers and sisters that are going to disagree with us, but I'm not here to get your approval. I think what Elder Audrey is saying is spot on. And this is spontaneous. We don't even know where this is coming from. We're probably being led by the Ruach, because like he said, we don't have to participate in it. We know there's a lot of idolatry up in there and paganism and symbols, but you got brothers that walk up in there looking for an answer. And I used to sit up in church, I'd see it. They'd come once, twice, and never come back again, because they saw it was a bunch of women in church, bunch of homosexuals in church, bunch of screaming, shouting, entertainment, and a bunch of hoochies in church, and they never came back again. If you was there, brother, with the truth, you could have spotted that brother and said, hey man, let me holler at you real quick. Let me put you up on this real truth. It'd be just like he said, out catching them in the hallways, catching them in the lobbies, catching them outside the church. Even if you don't want to go in, you can catch them when they're coming out. You know, I commend a couple of brothers in Texas that used to be outside Joel Osteen's church teaching the truth and telling people the truth as they came out. Those brothers were arrested. Tell the truth. Nevertheless, yeah, they stood outside that church with their signs and their bullhorns, and they were teaching the truth. So, Mishpachah, we got to come back to it. But right now, I know this is our time. This is our time to rest. This is our time to reflect on his goodness and the laws. So we just wanted to exhort you in that capacity. So I think it was necessary for us to exhort you like that, because last week we talked about having anointed men that can inspire the troops and prepare them for battle. And that's what we're doing right now. We're trying to urge you and push you into battle and fire you up so that you'll know. So we just sounding the clarion call. We just sounding that trumpet. That's what we're trying to do this morning. All praises to the Most High.
All praises to the Most High. Do you mind if I go to a scripture, and this scripture is not only going to hit on what you just talked about, but it's going to hit on the very subject that we're going into right now.
Please do.
If I can just use it as a base.
No, please do, and we can segue right into the lesson. Please do.
Okay. The scripture is Mark 3:31 Mark 3, 31 to 35. And it says there came then, and it's talking about the Messiah's family. There came then his brethren and his mother. So this word brethren is not only can be literal brothers, but also can be cousin or whoever, family. Or even friends, but we know his friends was with him. So brethren and cousins, family. Then there came his brethren and his mother, and standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brother without seek for thee. Reading out of King James. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother, or who is my brethren? And he looked round about on them which sat about him and said, Behold my mother and my brethren, for whoever shall do the will of the Most High, King James say God, the same shall be my brother and my sister and my mother. And so if you want to be in this family, and if you want to be in this Mishpachah family, true family, it's those that's doing the will. And what is his will? Obeying his commands. That's his will. And so that's what me and the elder here is talking about. When we say, you know, to snatch those that's out there and tell them the truth, bring them back to the will of the Father. And so the lesson that we're going into is all about doing the will of the Father. And if we do the will, once again, then we will be in his family. We'll be his sisters, his brother, his, you know, didn't say mother, but we'll be his sisters and his, well, yeah, it did say mother, and mother and brother, his family, in other words. So I want you to keep that in mind as we go through these other Keep that in mind as
we... Go ahead, sorry, we just had a little technical difficulty.
No problem.
Yeah, let's go into the lesson. I want to get to the first one, Leviticus, I think 19.
Yeah. So this is on Leviticus 19, 26 to 31.
Actually, it was just 26 and 31. Yeah, because today what we're going to deal with, this is the Shabbat before this sick, twisted holiday. We're going to break down how, and I noticed some of the people might notice in some of the pictures and photos that we're going to break down the fact that the Torah totally speaks against everything that has to do with this holiday. We're living in a world and a system that is trying to corrupt Israel. Indigenous black man, Latino man, indigenous people, the diaspora, You are not supposed to be participating and going to see these movies, these Twilight sagas and Harry Potter and all this stuff about vampirism and blood. Scripture says abstain from the very appearance of evil. Everything about dressing up to look like a zombie or a ghost is giving the appearance of evil and taunting, hunting, and giving the appearance of the dead. They're doing this purposely and intentionally. This is one of the highest grossing holidays there is in the world. It's over $4 billion to $6 billion that they gross off of money on this holiday that people participate in this ritual every year and turn their homes into mausoleums and cemeteries and sick, evil, detestable things. And we're going to go into these scriptures that speak against witches, vampires, wizards, and ghosts. And you'll see why they promote it and push it and try to get you involved in it, because our Father, our God, gave us commandments to stay away from all that. So you don't need to be going to the Halloween party or the Christmas party, because you ain't supposed to be participating in that stuff. Be ye Kodesh as he is Kodesh. So we're going to start with Leviticus, the 19th chapter. I'll read the first one, Leviticus 19 and 26. Ye shall not eat anything with the blood, neither shall ye use enchantment, nor observe times. Your thoughts on that, Elder?
Man, I first want to mention about the blood, because the scripture teaches us that life. I believe that's Leviticus, that's in Leviticus as well. That life is in Genesis. Excuse me. That life is in the blood, and so, but that's, as you see, in these last days, that's openly accepted. You have bizarre foods. He go around. He'll just eat anything.
Right.
And so, his show is highly rated because they keep bringing him back every year. And so that, you know, that once again seem like the best foods. And I like to cook, and so I watch cooking shows, and seem like anything that has blood in it with meat is what they prefer to cook to show you. And so, but amongst the Hebrew way, amongst our custom, amongst our culture, which is the culture of Yah, that's not acceptable, because life is in the blood. In other words, if you want to eat a pig that's half cooked, and we're not even supposed to eat that, I'm just using that as an example, and you have that blood in it, you are what you eat, and so you're eating that pig, and that pig is you now, because you're eating the very life of the pig. And that's and once again, that's another thing we should not do, eat swine or any unclean foods. But I brought up a pig in the worst way to show you that this is not acceptable. And so he tells us not to eat, and I don't know why that's so hard, not to eat anything with blood in it. I mean, man, brother just, you know, cook the beef until you don't see no blood.
Yeah, I think we other cultures got us into this whole thing of eating a steak rare, which is sick because you're liable to pick up some type of mad cow disease or sickness. But we never did eat things that had blood in it. This is what happened with Esau when he told Jacob that he wanted that stew, that red stew, that potted meat. It wasn't fully cooked. And that is a fact. Let me give a couple of the precepts. One of the reasons why you see the world pushing vampirism, it was on the front of Rolling Stone magazine, I believe, that says being a vampire is sexy, that androgynous look. You actually have little young kids dressing like that goth style, and trying to be vampires and actually replacing their teeth with fangs, and they're mocking vampirism. But there's been tales of people that really do go around trying to eat people's blood because they're blue bloods. I'm going to teach on that Tuesday. They have blue blood, and they go around trying to suck on people's blood so that they can get the life of the essence that's in the blood. So there are people in our society today that do drink human blood because they know what we're teaching you, that there's life in the blood. And they are a bunch of reptilian suckle snakes, barely holding on to life with no soul, and they don't have the Ruach in them. And they know that we thrive and that we were created by the Most High, and we have the Ruach living inside of our blood. So they desire to suck our blood. This whole thing about vampires is not some old, science fiction myth. No, it's a reality that this exists, that there were people that went around trying to sap the blood out of people and eat human flesh. One of the precepts is Leviticus 17 and 14, for it is the life of all flesh. The blood of it is for the life thereof. Genesis 9 and 4, but flesh with the life thereof, which is the blood thereof, shall ye not eat. Deuteronomy 12 and 23, only be sure that thou eat not the blood, for the blood is the life. Leviticus 17 and 11, for the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar. When Cain slew Abel, his blood cried out from the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Day. The blood of the 100 million slaves that were killed in the transatlantic slave trade is crying out from the ground for revenge. And that's why the Most High is coming back with recompense. The blood speaks, lives forever, and cries out from the ground. You're not to eat it and put it in your system because you're intermingling life. And they know this because they want our life, our essence, our spirit inside of them.
You'll find out in Revelations. Revelation speaks about the elders who are crying out for those that was martyred. Excuse me, were crying out. That's their blood crying out against the crimes that were done. Saying, when will you avenge us? You know, when will that time come when you would avenge us? And if I can hit on this, because some of you may be thinking that, well, what does it have to do with me? In Leviticus 7:26, it says, moreover, ye shall eat no manner of blood, whether it be of fowl or of beast, in any of your dwellings. In any of your dwellings. We scattered all over the place. And so, yes, this applies to us. Once again, you know, if we want to be in this Mishpachah, if you want to be in the family of the Messiah, you got to do the Father's will. And this is his will. This is his way. This is his culture. And so I encourage you all who are, and I mentioned this on the last broadcast, excuse me, Elder, that it's not, we got to come down to where, hey, I'm talking about to you fathers and mothers. It's not about pleasing your children anymore. Okay, well, Halloween, I know they want candy, and it's just one day. But you got to stand up for what's right, and no, we're not going to do it. We're not going outside. We're not going to have no Halloween party. I'm not throwing you no Halloween dinner, nothing. We're not going to participate in it in any kind of way. And if they feel bad about it, so what? It's just one day. They'll get over it. And husbands, if your wife pressure you, because I mentioned this, you got to stand up. Don't give in, because it's only one day. If she can't handle that, then pray for her. I mean, because we got to stand up for what's right, and you got to keep your own home safe, because the days is coming, and it's already here, really, that you're going to start inviting these demons right into your house, and they're going to manifest themselves right in front of you. So all this game plan that, you know, hiding themselves, because Halloween is really a mask. And so they've been hiding themselves all these years in front of you. But now Satan is going to just manifest himself right in front of you, because the game is over. The game is over.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. These demons are manifesting in the daytime, and there's more of them. There's more fallen angels, more fallen spirits, and they know that their time is short. So they're ramping up their assignments and what they have to do to try and corrupt and destroy Israel and possess and just kill as many people as possible. The ultimate end game is destruction of a people.
Yeah, so that's point one. Are you ready to go to point two?
Yeah, Leviticus 19 and 31.
Oh, what about the enchantment? Well, you already hit on that, right? Or
no,
enchantments?
I did. We didn't touch enchantments. You want to break that down, enchantments?
Well, yeah, just you know, simply real quick. That's using charms, magic spells. Really, that word enchantment has to do with the Hebrew word nakash, which is a serpent. You know, so that's a demonic serpent that you're calling on to do your magic spells and charms and anything. And once again, you see that these are very profitable businesses that's going on. At least here in the United States, they're very profitable. And they're popping up, you know, everywhere. And so, once again, you know, the scripture tells us not to do these things, not to do what the nations, these Gentile nations of the world are doing. And since we are in the Gentile nations, you will see this on a regular basis. And the Most High is saying, no, don't do that. We got to be a light. It has to be somewhere where the sinner can look and see, like, okay, over there is the way that we should live. And that's why, really, in Scripture, in the New Testament, the disciples or the congregation, the Israelite congregation, were called the Way, because that's the nations looked and say, okay, hey, this is the way we should live. So they nicknamed them the Way. Taken after the Messiah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You know, so we too have to be the way that these nations can look. When I say nation, I'm talking about everybody can say, hey, okay, I'm living my life this way, but over here, I know I can go over here and be saved. And unfortunately, the church have lost that because the same people who is doing the drug selling and is often are the same people who are in church. And so don't start calling me about this, because I know, you know, it seems like everyone is just, I don't want to hear no phone calls. I'm not going to answer it. You know, so.
They can call me. Y'all see the number on the front page. Call us. I love to talk to you. I got something for you. Call me.
Yeah. So we have to get back to our job. And also, the very thing that the Messiah told the disciples to do, go out into the world and preach, and, you know, that scripture, is the very same thing that that wasn't new. We were called to do that in the very first place in the Old Testament. And so let's get back to it. You know, let's get back to it, because, once again, as the elder said, Elder V, that times is short, and those demons, they're upping up their, they're stepping up their game. Trust me, they're stepping up their game, and we got to step ours up as well.
Yeah, we're not to be whispering these magic spells or be prognosticators. That's what that nakash also talks about. I like that, the Hebrew nakash for these enchantments. And if you go back and listen Thursday, I talked about this new game coming out on PS3 called The Wonder Book, the Book of Spells.
I've seen that.
Where they're going to be teaching your kids how to master witchcraft and magic spells. And every time they achieve one level, they go to the next level. And they're teaching them real witch spells. And they're teaching them incantations. And as they do them, they can look at the TV screen and watch demons come up out of a book and manifest inside the home. So this is what we're going to see coming out on the next pagan demonic holiday, Christmas, that they're releasing. And you're going to find that people are discovering a new Ouija board that they're bringing into their homes that's going to open up portals and introduce more demons into people's lives and children and train them how to be witches. More stuff to get us to desecrate ourselves and become abominable and start doing the things that the Most High forbid us to do in the laws, in Leviticus. So be mindful, be watchful, because what we do is we do these things out of innocence, and they introduce it as fun. And we're so caught up into Babylon, we participate and say it's all good. No, it's not all good. Discipline yourselves, like the elder said. Tell the kids no. Tell the wife no. Tell the husband no, too. Say no. Start saying no. Sound like Nancy Reagan right now. Just say no. Well, I'm talking to Mr. Picard. You need to know.
Oh, man, I haven't heard that name in a long time.
Start saying no to the world. What's the other one in this scripture before we move on? Not to observe times. I think that's a very important one.
Right.
Not observe times. Let me turn to in the Hebrew Strong's. That's number 6049. Give me one sec.
I believe it does not. I might be wrong, but if I can go back to it, I think that word is either Anan or something like that. But doesn't that have to do with
Well, you're right about the word. That is the word. You're right. It's Anan.
Okay, I forgot the meaning of it, though.
Well, it says to cover, used only as demon, a cloud, or to act covertly, or to practice magic, or to bring an enchanter, or just to observe certain times as a soothsayer, as a sorcerer, and to observe times such as astrology and certain seasons of certain things. And so it covers a lot of things. But let me go back to that first thing it said, to cover as a demon. And this is one thing you see people doing when they put on these masks, pretty much these masquerades.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
And portray themselves as demons and go around thinking this is another innocence. It's just a Halloween masquerade party. And this speaks against that loud and clear.
Would that hit on as well the Mardi Gras?
Oh,
you know, Mardi Gras, they wear these masks, and it seems like it's a party, but it's really a voodoo celebration.
A voodoo ritual.
The root of it is.
And here's the biggest thing that transpires with these festivals. People have this tendency when they're covered up and masked up to lose their inhibitions and participate in all types of sexual rituals because they feel like they're covered, their face is covered, their shame is covered. So they're uninhibited and feel more at liberty to indulge in their fantasies. Now, I think I was pretty politically correct there with the way I said it. So
yeah.
This is what happens. And it's a spirit that comes with that whole thing, which is why you see many orgies taking place. And orgies are satanic rituals that attract demons and that get on people's lives. And they wonder why they can't shake these spirits of lust. And lust is so prevalent in our society, from kids from 9 years old to adults 90 years old, trying to get their freak on. Because these are demonic spirits, because they go around seeking vessels and bodies so that they can still experience the things of life. These familiar spirits are using people's bodies for gluttony, indulgence, sexual fantasies, you name it. And the Most High speaks out against this, and this is what it says to observe times. We're to be careful about doing all these things.
Yeah, and really, it's these same demons that Genesis, Bereshit, talks about how, you know, when they went into the women, it's these same demons that. So when you put on these costumes and masks and next thing you know there's an orgy going on, you're taking on that demonic spirit, that same ones that did what they did back in Genesis and slept with the women. And so you're taking on that spirit, those spirits. And so just wanted to drop that. You might want to read that in I believe, Genesis 6.
That's one of the precepts there?
Huh?
Genesis 6, what verse?
Let me see. It's... Just a second.
You know, we could do a whole on this whole thing about observing times?
Genesis 6, 1 and 2.
And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and the daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all which they chose. And let's point out, the sons of God.
So the sons of God is talking about, you know, the Malachim, the messengers, but they desired to sleep with these, and they gave up their right in heaven and came down and slept with these, you know, these women.
And let me just say that one of the precepts for the sons of God, so people won't refute that, is found in the book of Job, when it talks about how Satan came amongst the Most High and the sons of God were all there. These are angels. These aren't the sons of Seth that slept with women. No, these were angels that left their first estate, spoken of in the book of Jude, and came and slept with women. And created these Nephilim.
Right, which is in verse 4.
Exactly.
On which Nephilim is the giants. And so and to get a better, you know, better story on that, I encourage you to read Enoch, and Enoch will go more into detail about what happened, you know, with these as well as Yasher. But I encourage you to read Enoch. It'll tell you what these demons did. I mean, they taught all kind of stuff after that. And so the whole earth became corrupt because of that. And so when you, once again, going back to our subject, when you put on these demonic costumes and everything and participate in these orgies and sorceries, you know, getting intoxicated with various drugs and alcohol and all this kind of stuff, you're opening up that those same demonic realm that's what they do, because that's what they did. Once again, you'll find that in Enoch, how they brought sorcery upon the earth and all kinds of stuff through this one event. And Solomon said there's nothing new under the sun. And so this stuff just keeps repeating, and the Most High is calling us out of it. But the reason why I say calling us out of it, because it seems like it's the norm now, Elder, where you can just do yoga. Like, you know, just come, yoga is just a part of everybody's lifestyle now, is, once again, that's another portal for demons.
It definitely,
you may think it's just exercise, but it's a portal for demons.
Yeah, definitely. Do your research, people. Everybody's running to yoga thinking they're getting in shape. Now, you open up yourself for demons, talking about chakras, opening up your chakras so that you can reach the kundalini and release that serpent spirit through your spine so you can reach ecstasy. That's demonic stuff. That's Hinduism and Buddha and ashram. They're getting you every time you do one of those poses. It's a worship and praise to that fallen angel, that deity that they worship. And they're trying to get you to reach this state of mind where you open up all these different things inside your body and you open yourself up for demon possession. There's a couple of people that testify about it. But I want to read this precept real quick about observing times. Over in the book of Second Chronicles, the 33rd chapter, it talks about Manasseh. I'm going to start from 33 and 1. Manasseh was 12 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. But he did that which was evil in the sight of the Lord, like unto the abominations of the heathen, whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. These are heathenistic practices which we're seeing around us, such as Halloween. And our kings got in trouble for participating in this stuff. Manasseh committed those things which were abominable because he was trying to mock and do as the heathens did that were cast out from amongst our people, Israel. So if you skip down 6 and it says, and he caused his children to pass through the fire. That is a sin in itself, to sacrifice children to Moloch. In the valley. And then it says, also he observed times, and he used enchantments and used witchcraft and dealt with the familiar spirit and with wizards, and he wrote much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. That covers it all right there. This is what Manasseh did to provoke the Most High to anger. And this is why, because he told us not to do this stuff. And here comes a king that just did all these things.
And caused the nation to do it.
Caused the nation to fall. So Israel, we speak out against you participating and increasing the curses upon your next generations in these heathenistic Gentile practices of consulting wizards, enchantments, and observing times and seasons. Come out of her, my people. Come out of her, my people. Once again, that's 2 Chronicles 33:1-6. You can find out about Manasseh that did the things that were spoken against or spoken of in Leviticus 19:26. Let me go ahead and read Leviticus 19:31 because it ties in with that as well. Regard not them that have familiar spirits, and not to seek them out. These people that talk about they can see into the future and talk to your dead great grandmama. Your dead great grandmama's dead. She has no knowledge of what the living are doing. But these spirits have been around, are probably possessed people. They used to possess people. I'm being kind of humorous when I say you did great grandmama, but what happens is some of these people had spirits on them, and those spirits still roam around when these people are dead, and they're familiar with the traits of the deceased person and can come back and mimic and tell you things.
And whether they were righteous or unrighteous.
Exactly. Exactly. So that's why it says that we are not to regard them that have familiar spirits. But it takes discernment to know when a person has these familiar spirits, because you got some great actors in life today that should be getting as many awards as Denzel Washington and all the rest of them.
Let me tell you, though, when you're living a Kodesh life and you're praying and you're fasting and you're fighting against these warfare and you're obeying the commands, trust me, your name is being written on a board because you are a threat to the enemies of the Most High. You are a threat. But if you're sitting around not doing nothing and you're just participating in these harvest festivals and Easter and Christmas and Valentine, you're not no threat. You're doing what they want you to do, so you're not a threat. But when you start obeying these commands and standing up for it, when the Most High said keep, that same word keep means guard. So when you keep it and guarding the commands, you're a threat. And so that's how they'll know your name.
That's a very key point. That's good, because as long as these people are participating in all these festivals, so Satan is laughing. Satan is laughing like, I got them. We're not even tripping on them. They all caught up into Babylon. We got them. They caught up into everything that the heathen is doing, the Gentiles are doing. We got them covered. But when you start to take a stand, when you start to like separate yourself from this world and keep these statutes and commandments, and that hedge of protection is getting high around you, and angels are standing up doing battle for you as you do battle for the Most High, because you're representing the kingdom now. You're taking a stand. You're like the Maccabean brothers who said, we will not eat pig or swine. We will fight. We will die. And these brothers overcame troops and forces taking a stance. They said, we're not going to do it. That's why they don't want you reading the book of Maccabees, because even when we were being invaded by Rome, these brothers were able to conquer and defeat, win battles, because they were taking a stand. We will not compromise whatsoever. This is why the Most High said, when I come back, will I find faith in the earth? Will there be anybody that's standing, holding on, waiting for me, not compromising, won't take the chip, won't take Obama's two-way radio chip for his health care plan, won't go take the chip in order to get some food, won't bow down to Satan, to this new world system or the new world religion that comes from the 501c3 church? Who is going to stand when things get tough and rough, when the food starts to be short, when the water starts to be poisoned, and you have to do things in order to get this stuff? Will you find faith in the earth? This is why the world seeks to corrupt you, unbeknownst to you. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the coming of man when he comes. What happened was that the seed of man became hate because it was being infused with the seed of, and I'm going to get into this Tuesday, the Most High willing, with the abominable seed of the earth. We're being desperate. And this is what we have to be mindful of. As we merge ourselves with society and the world, and we ignore the truth and the knowledge that's being preached out here about the foods, the vaccinations, about the impurities, about the festivals, about the witchcraft and enchantment. We desecrate, we taint ourselves. And he's trying to say, look, protect yourselves. Listen, learn. I've got preachers, teachers crying out, telling you, come out of her, my people. Separate yourselves. Be Kodesh. On call now to come back to the commandments, because the commandments cover it all. The commandments, you will be Kodesh, pure, and away and protected from all of the things that Satan is doing through government and through the earth to corrupt Israel. The dietary laws, the clothing laws, the marriage laws, etc. Thing is covered by the Most High, which is why they want to tell you it's done away with and you can do whatever you want. This is ridiculous. I told you I'm ready. Somebody book me to go preach in one of them pagan churches tomorrow. I'm ready to kill some demons.
Oh, man. Yeah, so it's on, and we gotta return back to these back to the ancient paths that the Most High have provided for us and taught us. Little did Israel know that their days in that wilderness was the best thing that ever happened to us, I should say, because we learned who the Most High is. We learned his ways in that wilderness. And, you know, the most beautiful thing, matter of fact, the root word of wisdom is kham or ham, taken after the name of the father of Africa. Because wisdom, because his word, the same word for wisdom, comes out of his name, out of the root word ham or kam, and that means that it's hot. That means it's pressure. And the most beautiful things in life comes through pressure. It comes through pain. It comes through suffering. And so, for example, if you look at diamonds or rubies or any other precious stones, if you look at gold or silver, you'll see that all those things came from being pressurized. And so, same with us. When the children of Israel went through the wilderness and went under that pressure, they learned about the Most High. They learned about his ways. They learned about his teaching. What we're reading now, they were in the wilderness. They wasn't in no mansion or anything. They were out in the wilderness learning these precepts and statutes for their lives. And so, when we return back to the commands, there's going to be pressure on us. But the end result of it is going to be something beautiful. Job said, I was tried in the fire, but I'll come out as pure gold. And so when you get tried through the fire, you're going to come out with something beautiful, something lasting. And so when the scripture says, study to show yourself approved, that word approved is regarding going through fire, being tested. And so as you go through this fire, go through this pressure, getting the wisdom of the Most High, which is in the Messiah, because Scripture says that the Messiah is the wisdom of the Most High, then the end result of it is going to be beautiful, and you'll receive your reward. And so so I encourage you to, you know, obey these commands, get back to commands, and even if the pressure is on you, through the world and through the church. The elder says, stand. Elder B says, take your stand. And Apostle Shaul says, stand. So stand. Take your stand. Don't move. Don't be dismayed. Take your stand in what you believe in, even if it's you by yourself. Because we're in California, and there's not – I understand that those of you who are in the South and those of you who are in the Midwest and East, you have your congregation. There seems like there's abundance of it, of congregations, Israelite congregations you can go to. It hasn't hit out here yet. So we're kind of by ourselves a little bit. We're kind of scattered out here. But we still have to take our stand, and we have the any and everybody coming at us. But here we are on this Shabbat taking our stand and being on the air with you. And we're not turning back.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. There's no such thing to turn. There's turn back to what?
That's true.
So, yeah, let me I'm going to reiterate real quick. Over the little points that we covered, because we didn't get to Deuteronomy, so I'm going to give them Deuteronomy real quick. Perhaps one of the most atrocious elements of the religion of Israel's neighbors in Canaan was the practice of human sacrifice. You might want to write this down. This passage and others in Leviticus 20 and 2 and Deuteronomy 18 and 10 show how God hates the practice of sacrifice. There'll be a lot of sacrifices taking place during today throughout Halloween, real human sacrifices. Believe it. There's a video on YouTube of a Rabbi Finkelstein that says that after these people are sacrificed, they are ground up and sold as meat and infused into beef and pork and sold to fast food restaurant chains. I know you just got sick. I know you don't want to believe it, but you need to ask yourself, what kind of hamburger patty is that at McDonald's? They don't even wilt or grow old. Anyway, I don't know where that came from. I just had to put that out there.
Wow, that's deep.
Rabbi Finkelstein. You just type it up in YouTube and you'll hear this interview. Now, yet some of the kings of Judah sacrificed their sons to Moloch, the Ammonite national deity. You'll find out about that in 2 Kings 16 and 3, 21 and 6. And the people of Judah even built a special high place where they could sacrifice their sons and daughters. You'll find that in Jeremiah 7 and 31. All of this was done in worship of foreign gods, which only served to intensify God's hatred of it. God got ticked off, and God is ticked off right now with you folks that call yourself Christians as participating in these rituals. Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14. When thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not learn to do after the abominations of those nations. There shall not be found among you anyone that maketh his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that uses divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. For all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, Ahiah. And because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out from before thee. This is why people are being destroyed, how people are being destroyed and driven out and losing their minds. Thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. Don't let nobody else tell you we're not perfect. We can't be perfect. Well, we all strive, and shut up. I'm not trying to hear that. It says right here, thou shalt be perfect with the Lord thy God. How do you become perfect? By striving to do his commandments every day. When you put forth the effort to obey him every day, and at the end of the night when you lay your head down, you were successful. You are walking in perfection, people. People tell you you won't be perfect until you're 6 feet under. No, the striving and putting forth the effort to do so puts you in that vein, or else he wouldn't say be perfect, as he's saying in Deuteronomy 18 and 13. Look it up yourself. The Concordance is number 8549.
And the Messiah himself repeated that and said, be perfect as my Father in heaven is perfect. Can I iterate in on what you said, just said in verse 10?
Well, let me finish this last one and I'll be done. Verse 14.
Okay.
For these nations which thou shalt possess hearkened unto observers of times and unto diviners. But as for thee, the Lord thy God hath not suffered thee so to do. I read Deuteronomy 18, 9 through 14, which covers all forbidden practices. Go ahead.
In verse 10, it says, "There shall not be found among you." So that means he's looking. He's looking through his congregation, through his people, to see if there are. So what I'm saying is, if you are practicing these things, he's going to find you. He's also going to find those who are not practicing it. And so when the scripture says, "Don't let it be found among you," the Most High is going to find. Matter of fact, the scripture says, "Seeking you shall find." He's going to seek himself and find. So you can't hide. And even if you're doing it as a congregation, because the church has, and once again, not only the church, I'm talking about all your other religions out there as well. But since we came out of the church, I just say church. But you got some churches that they're against Halloween, and they go and they do their marches or whatever. Then you got some churches that they would rather have Halloween inside the church. You know, bring your kids with their, you know, demon mask or whatever, and we'll just have a Halloween inside. Then you have churches that just don't care. They don't do nothing. And so that shows instability right there, that you're not on one accord. We're asking you all to be on one accord, and let's stand as one huge Mishpachah congregation with one faith, one belief, one heart, one mind, one soul, one spirit, against the wiles of the devil, obeying his commands, worshiping him in the way that he say to worship him, and seek to please him. Then we'll be truly called, once again, going back to Mark, his brother, sister, mother of the Messiah, and sons of the Most High, the Father.
So that Hebrew word is for perfect is tamim. And tamim means to have integrity, to have truth, to be without blemish, to be complete, to be full, to be perfect, to be sound, to be without spot, to be undefiled, and to be upright. Kill off that fallacy about ain't nobody perfect and we just trying and we ain't. This is what they tell you up in church. And that's why they preach a message of grace and mercy, to get you lulled to sleep. Nah. Mishpachah, Israel, do the thing. What's the thing? The commandments, statutes, the laws, and being Kodesh, as you heard hopefully back in the day. But it's Kodesh, be ye set apart. You can do this because you were created to do it, because he made you in his likeness, and it's inside you to do it. Be a man.
Brother, can you read that again? Because the reason why... Because the priests, they wore those, the Urim, and they wore the Thummim, which is the same as the Tamim.
It's called Tamim.
They wore that in their vest, in their priestly garments.
Yeah, it's called Tamim. Perfect in the Hebrew, the word is Tamim.
Right. I mean, no, if you can read the definitions one more time, unless you already turned the page.
To be entire. To have integrity, to have truth, to be without blemish, to be complete, full, perfect, sound, without spot, undefiled, upright, and whole.
Mm. And if we are priests, then that's what we are.
Right.
And so, that's deep right there.
That's it. So come out of her, my people. Come out of her. Come out of her. Come out of her. Listen, we're out of time. So we're going to go ahead, because we like to keep it concise, because we like you to hear the lesson, study it over. You may have only a little time when you listen in the archives over your lunchtime. So we want you to enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. Bask in that. Do your own study. Study with your family. Try not to get caught up into this world. We do have grace and mercy. Don't misunderstand me. But it's only there to bring you back to the commandments, not to bask in it like a pig waddles in the mud. When a sheep falls in the mud, it cries out until the shepherd comes and saves him. The pig is like, I'm kicking it, leave me alone. I want to stay here. This is where I live. Your grace and mercy is to bring you back to the commandments. So if you have to work or do something, try not to do it. But if you just have to, that grace and mercy is there because we're still under captivity, and we understand that. But do all that you can to honor everything he tells us to honor and stay away from everything he tells us to stay away from. That's what I'm saying to you. Listen, talk to us, reach out to us. We're at HebrewRestoration.net. We're developing the website, but we have our contact phone. Give us a call. Leave us a message. If you want us to come and speak, we'll come and speak. We'll come do a lecture wherever you want us to lecture. You can tell us what you think of the broadcast. We're still developing the site, but we're all praises to the Most High that Israel is rising, and our efforts are just to be a part of this. He's looking for preachers that are after his own heart, just like David was after his own heart. And we know David did a lot of stuff, but if we can be after his heart, we will please the Most High. And this is how we do so. So reach out to us, send us a letter. Let us know you've been exhorted and encouraged, because that will encourage us to keep on doing what we're doing as well. And we will be in, Most High willing, on Halloween night. We're going to be in prayer. Elder Andre is going to teach, but we're going to be in warfare prayer against these demonic spirits. We're not acknowledging the day. We just understand that there are people out there that are doing it, and we're going to combat those forces in the spirit, asking that you'll do the same, be of the same mindset. Anything that you want to say in closing before we close out?
No, you covered it all.
Well, the only sure obstacle to true. I am Elder V. This is Elder Andre, and we're going to say, as I always say, the only sure obstacle to truth is to think that you already have it. For truth is a journey, not a destination. Enjoy the rest of your Shabbat. I got mad love for you. Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
The blackness. Keep it on.